Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm good. Good to be back again.
Yeah, we're back to the pattern.
The holidays flew by. Came and went.
Yeah, it did. So did you enjoy the Hoshana ritual?
Oh, we really had a good time. We had a mini teaching, and Donna and Brandy and Judy and myself and Tony. And then we did the beating of the willows, and then had a nice one.
Who did the teaching?
Well, basically I did, but we all kind of contributed something.
Oh, that's nice.
You know, when ladies get together, each one has a little something they can add. And
I understand.
It's really good. You influence us a lot.
Very good. So let us begin.
Okay.
Starting with section 42. And Elohim saw all that he made. Verse 173. Leachta Shem Yud Hei Bavate B'Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayihino Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kononeh Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kononehu Vayar Elohim Et Kol Asher Asa V'Hine Tov Me'od Akait Ktatan Ma'adela Itmar Kito Basheni Begin De Itpere Beyamota Vehaka Itmar Vehine To Meod Veazla Kima De Amre Avraya Vehine Meod Zemavet. And Elohim saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. These words correct the omission of the words, it was good in the second day. These words were omitted on the second day because on it death was created. Now the words, it was very good, are used. The colleagues have explained that it was very good refers to death. Because this is so, it was fitting to use it was good on the second day, the day on which death was created. But the words were not used until the sixth day, when it was revealed that death is very good. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I was thinking that when that the reason it was very good was probably not said till later, because Hashem knew the end, even in the beginning, of what man would do. And the idea that he created a pathway for us to get back to Gan Eden, despite the time that it takes to get back, that made it very good.
Very nice.
Now we think that God saw everything he made. He saw that it was very good. Anything that's not very good was never made.
Well, according to this discussion, death is very good. And you have difficulty with that.
Yeah, because God has no opposite or coexistence, and God is life.
We agree. God created death. And you won't accept that, and that's fine. You're entitled. Everybody has their own opinion.
People were spiritual to begin with, and they never died.
Correct. But only certain tzaddikim never die. Tzaddikim do die in the sense that they choose to leave the world because God asks them to. They don't have to. But they know if they remain alive that people will never grow on their own. Verse 174.
What happened to 173?
That's the one I read.
And that's what everything that you needed. It was very good.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was 172.
No, it was 173. Vayar Elokim et kol asher asa vehine tov meod veki lachama leyakodem ela kolachama leyakud shabarichu umandi amar et kol aska'a kol darin Tietun levatar kain v'kain kol ma deitzadesh v'alma v'kol dara v'dara ad la yetun le'alma asher asa da kol vadin divreshit dimtaman Itvere v'soda v'ikra l'kol ma diete v'yitchadesh v'alma livatar ken uvgin kach amalea kudsha barichu ad la hawa v'shave kola b'ovada And Elohim saw all that he made, and behold, it was very good. He asked, did he not see that before? The words "and Elohim saw" give the impression that he only saw after he had created. He explains, the Holy One blessed me, who saw all the things that had been made and those yet to be made. And these are those who commented that the particle et before the word all indicates that he saw all the generations to be and all that was to happen in the world in each generation before those generations even came to existence. The words which he had made allude to all the works of creation recounted in Bereshit. They're the foundation and root of all that was to be and will subsequently come to pass in the world was established. Hence, the Holy One, blessed be, foresaw all and placed all in the works of creation. Questions, thoughts, comments?
So he didn't just see what was already created, but even the future.
No, he saw before he created, he saw that it was good. There was no, when we do something, we need to change matter. So there's a process. In God, there's no process. He had a thought, and immediately it happened. And before, when he had the thought, he knew that the thought was good. So he didn't have to manifest it and create it. He knew it was good. But the way it's worded in the way men perceive things, it says he saw in past tense. Whereas in reality, it is the present tense. Present tense. He sees that it is all good. Hannah, did you want to say anything?
Well, I think we've, for quite a while, understood that positive and negative are all good. So that wasn't, you know, that was sort of evident, I think. I was trying to understand the little particle et, because we've, you know, it was there in the first verse of Genesis, you know, with sometimes the meaning having to represent Aleph to Tav, and I was trying to see if that was what they were alluding to with saying that the particle et before the word everything, if that was a similar concept as to the...
Yeah, it is, because the particle et is all of the energy in the universe.
Okay.
It has the 22 Hebrew letters. It starts with the Aleph and it ends with the Tav. And everything is included in the et. There's
mm-hmm.
nothing outside of the et.
Okay, so it is basically the same concept there. Okay.
Yeah.
He thought everything was very good. Because it's about him.
No.
Nothing else.
In truth, he sees everything is good. Because God is perfect. What he creates is perfect.
Is he self-aware?
Good means perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Very
perfection
good.
Perfection animates only perfection.
But very good means that there's something been added. And when you add something to perfection, it's no longer perfect.
Well,
on the second day,
yeah.
He did not say it was good.
What?
On the third day, he said it was very good. And then the fourth, fifth, and sixth days, he said it was good. So you have to understand, something was created on the second day that is good, but wasn't complete. And that's the angel of death, because the angel of death is a process. And a process is not complete, meaning it's not perfect.
No, because it's happening. How is he ever going to create or accept
death? Who's going to do it? Who are you asking wouldn't through it except death? Well,
is he going to accept his opposite?
Yes, for a purpose. And that purpose is part of the process that is not yet perfect. And that's what you have difficulty with in our discussions from outside of the recordings. But let me read the next verse.
Before you read the next verse, I mean, I don't know what it says yet, but... Before the generation that doesn't have to die, does that mean we don't have to die a physical death? Or, I mean, I know that when we go to the other side, we're still alive. You know, there's life on the other side.
Right.
But is it, I don't know why I didn't think of this before. I just always took for granted that when we were saying that we didn't have to die, it meant we didn't have to die physically, that we were that generation, which means at this time, if we're the generation, then our certainty ought to start increasing as we continue to grow.
And that's what happens when you read and study the Zohar. Your certainty starts to grow.
And by Rabbi Berg choosing to leave, that should strengthen our consciousness of that fact.
No, it's actually a test.
It's a test? Okay.
Yes. Well, in 2004, Rabbi Berg had a stroke. In that stroke, if you listen to the recordings about the stroke, it was a stroke in the brain stem, which always leads to death. And yet he recovered. That was the idea of restoring life. It means that was the idea of swallowing death forever. That was his first step. And he showed the way of how to do that by having the certainty that he would never die. And yet, 10 years later, he left this world, and the prophecies, I forget where it is, it's in the Ezekiel or in Zechariah, but it says that in the time of Mashiach, that those souls from the side of Cain will have to experience death. But that death is not going to be like the death we know now. It will be that they will die and then they will resurrect themselves. That's what the prophecies describe.
Not the Messiah will resurrect them. They will resurrect themselves.
That's correct. We have to. Should I go on, Hannah?
Yes, if the other lady is willing. I'm willing.
Is.
I know there's so much more to all these verses, but...
That's correct. And if you want to delve into them, we will.
Well, you can. I would be willing for that.
Well, it's not up to me to delve into it unless there's a question being asked.
Yeah, I was trying to think quickly of a question. I was thinking lately... how maybe something that kind of relates to this idea of, or to our concept of certainty, and that's having, to me, which a test in which, in some situation, every person that I considered, husband, friend, rabbi, name anybody and give them a title of their relationship to you, that somewhere along the way they disappoint you in some way. Let's include doctor, too. And so you finally reach a point, and maybe it's because of my age, you finally reach a point that you realize that you can't count on any of those persons. And if a friend fails you, then it's going to be Hashem who will send another friend, maybe not the one that you think should have, say, came to your rescue or helped you or disappointed you. So that it comes to the point where in every facet of your life, whether it's friendship, whether it's companionship, whether it's doctor, rabbi, whatever, you have to let your dependency, and I'm not sure that's the right word, but all that has to die, I suppose, would be the way to say it. And that the only person you have to hang on to truly is Hashem.
That is what creates certainty.
And so even though you think when you're going through those experiences, it's a bad experience, it's good. Very
correct.
Good.
Correct. That's exactly what has to happen.
Okay. Now, through all that process, you get angry. You possibly have depression, you know, until you finally... Well, maybe not anger, but you know, it ruffles your feathers until you finally see that each one of those areas were tested and that all you have left really to truly, it's not to say that your friends aren't going to still be your friends. I don't know if I'm expressing it well enough, but it means that in reality, Hashem is the only one in all of those areas. But go ahead and say what you were going to say when I used the word angry.
Well,
I was in a bad mood during this holiday season, and it was not like me. And I had to work through those feelings. And what I tried to express is what I came to. And when I did, and maybe that was after Hoshana Rabbah, because it was, it was like all of that just went away, and it's like a new world again. A happy new world.
Amen. When anger has no place in Hashem.
Yes, I know.
Anger is only the negative system. So when you get angry, you are falling to the negative system. Now, what you were expressing, you have a friend. That friend shares with you. That friend helps you. That friend listens to you. Whatever that friend is providing to you. And yet that friend will disappoint you. That disappointment is the test. What is your reaction? To say thank you? To say I appreciate that you disappointed me? It gives me the opportunity to see that you are still human, but the spark of Hashem is in you. What is the purpose of that test? Hashem knows whether you will pass the test or not. If he knows you're going to fail, why does he give you a test? If he knows you're going to pass, why does he need to give you the test? The answer is because you don't know whether you will pass the test. Who gives you the test? Your friend, who you've come to depend on, lets you down. If you see that person letting you down as coming from the negative system, you become reactive. You get angry. You get upset. You get whatever verb or emotional word you wish to use. But in reality, the person who lets you down is you. Because you created that friend.
Well, see, I'm thinking of the time. Oh, excuse me. Go ahead.
Hashem is a spark in that friend. Hashem is complete within that friend. So how could he let you down? Hashem doesn't let you down ever. So why do we perceive that we were let down?
Because we made the mistake of thinking there's another being. There is not.
Exactly.
There's one being, we never let you.
Correct.
Everything else is an illusion that you can shed.
But when that person comes and shares with you, that's not a person, that's Hashem. So when that person lets you down, that's Hashem telling you, this is not the best thing for you at this moment.
In our salvation, we have to see that person as an idea of God, not as an idea. And find something good about that person, that's the idea, nothing else.
Correct. There's always something good, but there's not something very good, because very good is not perfection. And it's something you need to remember as you use the words good and very good. Very good. Yes, but good is perfection and very good is less.
Wow, my brother. 96. Good is good.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Verse 175.
Can I ask you one other thing?
Of course.
Okay. The rabbi embarrassed me terribly, okay, with something he said.
Right.
Okay. It embarrassed me. That was my reaction. And I was going to talk to him, but because of the circumstances of the High Holy Days and his having been through a very serious heart operation and having to take breaks and all, I never had the opportunity to talk to him. And I was kind of glad in a way, because when I worked through it, I realized that if he was my mirror, then more than likely at one time I must have said something that either embarrassed him or some other person.
Right.
And so that was being mirrored to me. And when that struck me, then I knew I didn't have to talk to him. I mean, you know, it was like...
Well, actually you do, but not necessarily in the physical world. What you mm-hmm. have to do to complete the growth is to say to him, thank you for embarrassing me. Because it's good that you were embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you can say
something... I'm sure he didn't know that he embarrassed me. Do you know what I'm saying? So,
yes, I do. But the point is, unless you can realize that it's good that he embarrassed you, and mm-hmm. unless you can say to him, thank you for this. Recently, someone accused me of being a thief. And, of course, the reaction is, how could you call me a thief? But as you process, I process it. I got to the point where I wrote an email. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to maintain my serenity. Whether I hear back from the person or I don't is unimportant. What's important is I maintain my serenity instead of being reactive.
Well, that probably means I'll have another incident, because I was reactive. I mean, not in front of him, but inside of me.
Exactly. And the next time, you won't be reactive inside of you, because you'll remember that being embarrassed is a good thing. Being embarrassed is helping you to lower and control your ego. Being embarrassed lets you realize that it's unimportant, the other people's opinions of you.
Mm-hmm. That's because it was in front of the whole congregation.
Right, and that's why you became embarrassed.
Yeah.
And ultimately, when you realize that that's what you needed at that moment to keep control of your ego,
mm-hmm.
you can say, thank you, Rabbi, for embarrassing me. Now, as I said, you don't have to do that physically, because he may not understand that yet. But you do.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Verse 175. Yom Hashishi Maishina Bekoho Yomei Dila Itmar Beho Hei Ela Haka Karishtachlel Alma Itabarat Nukva Bidkura Pehibura Chad Hashem Bashishi Lemechewe Kolachad Vaikulu Ishtachlelu Kolachad Ishtachlelu Mikola Ishtalemu Bekola. The unique aspect of the words the sixth day is the letter He, which is translated as the. The He was used in reference to no day except the sixth, for the formula is not the first day, the second day, and so on, but rather one day, a second day, and so on. This is because now the world was finished, which is Zeranpin and Nukva, who were combined at the end of the works of creation, as the female was united with the male into one unit. Hey, with sixth, to be completely one. Thus the heavens and earth were finished, indicates that the unification of the male and female was complete in every detail. The works of creation were completed in every way and were fully equipped with everything. Questions, comments, thoughts?
My first thought was, rather than hey, it would have been Vav. But then Vav would have made it and, not the or the. But then as you keep reading, you could see why it was hey.
When you read the sixth day, go look at it in the Hebrew and you'll see it says the... Let me. Yom HaShishi. Where's the Vav? Well, the Vav is the sixth. Shishi, which means six. The Vav is the male. The six is the male. The He is the female. And this is the unification of male and female.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the bot is all about. That's the end of the section. And the next class will be at 7 o'clock West Coast time, which is 10 o'clock. Eastern, 9 o'clock Central.
Okay.
Question and answers.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Shalom.